Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. I'm scrolling down through my pictures here. Jared, I'm looking. I sent you there. They showed up. All right. Now, happy October 1st. Happy October 1st. There ought to be some kind of holiday today. No, that's the end of the month, isn't it? All Saints Day is what? Isn't that? Yeah, that's November 1st, isn't it? And I think we celebrate All Saints Day on Halloween. So we celebrate All Saints Day on November 1st by Ghosts and Goblins the night before. Yeah, I got so much I want to talk about today. This is the first day of October 2018. Had a wonderful weekend, although I froze my patootie off sleeping in a tent. It was heavy dew. Now I can be as rough as about anybody. I mean, I can rough it as well as anybody. And I was in a tent with Mark Trump and Gary Pierce, and they both did okay. And we had a heavy dew. We went to bed late, trying to sit around the fire to stay warm. I went to bed cold, and then I realized that my sleeping bag, I'll get out of the way, was about that thick. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like a sleeping bag, but it isn't a sleeping bag. And I asked my wife where we got it. She didn't know, probably some old yard sale or something like that. So I learned this. I'm going to get a new sleeping bag because I froze. I got wakened up early on Saturday morning, Sunday morning, because Larry and his grandson Hannon were leaving. I think you broke camp about 5, didn't you, Larry? And that woke me up, and then I tried to go to get the fire, try to warm myself up. So anyway, we're here. We had a great weekend. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but not totally about that. I got so much I want to. I just got so much, Lord, so much. And I want to salute a couple guys in particular. I want to salute Larry and his grandson. You know, Larry comes on here, and we all know Larry. We know his what he brings to the table, form of the scripture and the different perspective he has on the scripture. But I'm going to tell you something. Larry's a doer. Larry, I'm not just blowing smoke up your hind end. Larry's a doer. And Larry jumped in the car with his grandson, Hannon, and they drove all the way over here. They were over here, they were here Friday. Tent was already set up when I arrived. They were here Saturday. They took out yesterday morning. I salute Larry for coming. I salute Mark Trump for driving in all the way from Virginia. I salute Pastor Mike Spaulding. Pastor Mike Spaulding drove a couple hours to come and be with us on I got my nights all mixed up. Friday night, I think Pastor Mike came in on Friday night and stayed for a while. Chad came all the way from Texas. Somebody help me out here. My brain just went dead. I had all these people I was going to pat on the back, tell how this is really good. How do I say this? We got to get more serious. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. We got to get more serious. The fellowship is unbelievable again. I mean, it always is. Wonderful fellowship. But we're still not. Well, at the end of our meeting yesterday, our session yesterday, we started to get down to the nitty gritty a little bit about it. Some of the stuff I want to talk about today. I appreciate everybody that came. I know I've forgotten to say people who came a long way. I'd like to mention the people who lived close and didn't come. Could have come for 20 minutes. Could have come for an hour. Could have come for 15. Could have 2 hours. I really believe this. We're not all, some of us aren't all in. I don't want to start out negative on Monday. It was a wonderful weekend. And I salute Lowell. God bless you, Lowell, for all that you did there. I don't know total how many guys that we had. Probably 35. I'm guessing. I don't know the numbers. Lowell's in here.
The final count, including you and me, were 35.
How about that? 35 people. 35 people showed up. Some close, some not close. Some I knew, some I didn't know. We did great teaching on walkie talkies. I hate to use that term. Ham radio. Boy, what would happen to you if this thing went down? What would happen? How would you communicate? How could I talk to Larry Richardson if this thing went down? How could I talk to Mark Trump or Chad Estes or George or Jim? How could I talk to him if this went down? And so great class on ham radios and why they're important, why we need them. We had a great class on first aid. That was really good. We had a great video that sometime I'll share with you here on the two witnesses. That was really good. We had a training on Mark Trump is like, what was that? MacGyver. I'm going to start calling Mark Trump MacGyver. Because Mark Trump, he took batteries and battery cables, and he's an amazing guy, and showed us how things that he can do. Jim Kraft came all the way up. See, listen, everybody had something else they could be doing. Everybody did. Roger Weaver shows up late at night and shoots off fireworks like he thinks that's what he brings to the crowd. We're all trying to sleep and he shoots off fireworks. But Roger showed up. Everybody who showed up. Really brought something to the table. And we're doing more of these. I'm going to Iowa on Wednesday. I'm going to go to Iowa again next week. Jared, I'm not going to pull the calendar up there today. We'll pull it up tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about it. I'm making every effort I can to come to you and help you get something going. Every effort I can. One of the things we saw yesterday, I haven't noticed. Has Mark Trump joined in here? Is Mark in here? Let me see. Yeah, he is in here, isn't he? Hey, Trump, you in there? I'm looking down the list. Somebody says I don't see him in here yet. That's all right. He came a long way. Mark Trump made the point to me, and I thought it was really, really good, that just the giftings that were in the 35 people that we had, just in that group, the skill set. And I watch what's going on with Judge Kavanaugh. I'm not going to go there very long. I'm sorry if I feel like I'm a little bit disheveled. I'm really not, as far as where I want to go in my head. And the way we concluded on Saturday was this. When are we going to run a play? Have you noticed over the last, let's just pick the last 7 days. Have you noticed the number of plays the dark side has run? The number of plays they've run? What play do we run? What is a play? Can somebody tell me right now a play our team has run? Time out. Not prayer chains. Tell me a boots on the ground play our team has run. Now, I'm not talking about us as our team, the good guys. I'm going to pause for a minute. I'm going to wait for somebody to tell me one play the good guys have run.
Closest play we actually ran was Lindsey Graham growing a pair and calling out the nomination for the Animal House joke that it became.
Okay, hang on, Vinny. I'm talking about the church.
Ah, there you go. I think one time I saw a football coach run a play where he threw a pass interception on purpose because he figured it would be better than trying to punt the ball in a short distance and get out of bounds. And that's what the church has done, is they've thrown intercepted passes on purpose, giving the other team control.
Because if the other team wins, Jesus is going to come back, right? Jesus is going to come back. Can somebody tell me, this came up Sunday morning, can somebody tell me one offensive play our team has run, not the politicians, our team has run in relationship to the Brett Kavanaugh nomination? One, I'm going to tap on McKenna. Somebody tell me one play our team's run. I'm waiting.
I got it, Coach.
You ready? I'm listening.
Listen. Yep. Just listen.
We do that one well. We run that one well. That's the same one we run every time, right? And the Bible tells us that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. And so Sunday morning, we're talking about this stuff. And I said, hang on a minute. Anybody say, I've seen this movie before? Huh? I've seen this play before. Bear with me here. Clarence Thomas. Yeah. Yeah. Judge Roy Moore. Yeah. 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 I've seen that one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, daggone it. They ran that same play again and we weren't ready for it. Oh, goodness. Those devils.
It's called Groundhog Day. We just keep replaying the same thing over and over and over again.
And we're acting like we're surprised when it happens, right? We're surprised. So how long has the church known? I'm not talking about politicians. How long has the church known that Kavanaugh, they were going to try to put a conservative on the Supreme Court? Whatever you want to. Listen, I don't care whether you support him or don't support him. I'm not even going to go there. He is our team's play. And have we done any preparation? Prayer chains. We'll just pray. We'll let the Lord handle it. We'll put it in the Lord's hand. Really? Really? One play. Come on, somebody give me one play. Somebody give me one. You know, right now, hang on here. I just got curious. Hang on. Go ahead, Jared.
Everybody who, when they were allowed to anonymously vote, they voted for Donald Trump.
Except the pastors.
Right, except for them. That's true.
Except for the pastors. They probably didn't. Or at least they didn't tell anybody they were going to. Right?
Well, Coach, that's the play. They play. That's the play.
That's the play. That's the play. So here's what we know. I got some complaints on my Facebook page. No, it wasn't, because I'm still banned on Facebook. I got some complaints somewhere. They said, see, them Republicans, they passed another budget and they still funded Planned Parenthood, those scoundrels. Well, what plea did we run to make sure they didn't fund Planned Parenthood? So I'm waiting. Wait, somewhere. Go ahead. Give me. Oh, I know what we ran. We ran 40 Days for Life. That's our plan. That was our play. Am I in a parallel universe? Am I in a parallel universe? Why aren't they defunding Planned Parenthood? Because our team isn't asking them to. We would rather sit back and gripe and moan when they don't. See, I told you I couldn't trust that Trump. He's connected to the Illuminati. He's one of those Bilderbergers. Yes or no? I'm telling you, it frustrates me to no end. No end. And then we get a group of guys together or a group of people together, and I say, hey, who wants to run a play? And they go, what? What? Yeah, who? Anybody want to play?
Well, part of the problem is we don't know what play or even if we have a play to run. That's part of the problem. I had an interesting – Coach, I had an interesting conversation over the weekend. George – referred a gentleman to me that his friend Alan Miracle knows, lives up in a place called Little Elm up in Denton County, Texas. Had a few people over Sunday afternoon from the Dallas Salt and Light Brigade just for a time of fellowship. Good. And this guy is he's an abolitionist. Okay, so here's what he did. Here's what he did.
An abortion abolitionist. Right,
yes, man. He's an abolitionist. Came with his T-shirt, abolitionist, which is different than pro-life. All right.
Right.
So we had a conversation. He was telling me, you know, they go to churches and hand out literature about, you know, abolishing abortion. And of course, some churches, I could name a famous church in Plano, Texas, where you hear the preacher on the radio.
Why don't you name it?
I can't remember the name of the church.
They're not too famous.
But anyway, here's it. Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, they told him that they're non-political. that they don't get involved in the abortion fight because they're not political. All right. So what this guy did was he went to the Republican state convention and he became what's called a chair. Now, some states might call it a committeeman or a selectman or something. And in Texas, we call it a chair. He voted.
Go ahead.
No, nobody else from his district showed up. So he voted himself in as the chair. Okay. So now he has responsibility for like 7,000 people in his district. But once he was a chair, he automatically became a delegate to the state convention, the Republican state convention. Well, he and about 10 other guys started handing out literature about, hey, shouldn't we just abolish abortion? They were responsible for getting the abolish abortion bill introduced into the state legislature here in Texas.
Cool.
Because he got active on a grassroots level politically. So to me, that's a play.
Mm-hmm. That is a play. I'm with you, Glenn. That's a play. Now, are our pastors running play? I just got to go where the Holy Spirit's taking me. Okay, bear with me a second. Let me make sure that I always make some notes to myself here. I want to make sure that I'm not missing. Okay, yes, I see that, Lord. Chad made a little video. We may get to that here in a second. I just did this kind of at the last minute. My buddy Todd Henry's a former pastor. I'm sorry, Todd, I'm not trying to embarrass you. Todd Henry listens to the show. He's running the circles. He's running the pastor circle. And Todd drove a half hour and came, whatever, a half hour, 40 minutes. He came and was part of Friday night, and I really appreciate him. Appreciate you being there, Todd. And there are a lot of other guys that were kind of close, could have come, and they didn't come. I appreciate he came. But Todd brought this with him. He brought this. He said, Coach, I picked this up on the way. I think he said it cost him $13. He went into the drugstore or whatever and buying something, and he saw this in the book stand, and he picked it up. And it's called The Power of Faith. And live your best life now. And there you got a picture on the cover of it of our good friend Joel Osteen. And at the bottom we got Joyce Meyer, Rick Warren, and the ever beautiful Paula White. By the way, there's a back cover of Paula White. She's a minister. Because she's dressed. She has the president's ear. I wonder what play Paula's calling right now. Don't you think she's calling a play? Think Joyce is calling a play? Think, I don't know who he is, but I bet he ain't calling a play. And there's Rick. Is that Rick? No, wait, hang on. Stay with me a second. I'm sorry, I just got to go here, okay? Holy Spirit's telling me. How about this one? Here's a nice picture inside. Oh, yeah. There's Rick Warren with Elton John. I wonder if he talked to Elton about his homosex. And Lindsey Graham, who purportedly would be considered a pretty good friend with Elton, if you know what I'm saying, right? But see, Lindsey, he's a hero now because they flipped him and he stood up and he defended Kavanaugh. So Lindsey's now a good guy. But hang on. This caught my eye. Thanks, Todd, for coming and bringing the magazine and kicking me off. What's that say? Can anybody read that?
The smiling superstar.
This is Christian, folks. This is Christian.
Live your best life now. Get out of here.
The smiling superstar.
$13. That's some expensive colored toilet paper right there.
Hey, Coach.
Coach. Yes, Paul.
That's the Christian Sports Illustrated.
There you are, man. There you are. There's old Papa Popper, pastor driven. Pastor, what's his name? Pastor purpose driven. There he is. He's out in the stadium. Christians are picking this stuff up and reading it. What has Rick Warren ever done to end abortion? What's this guy ever done to end abortion? What's this girl ever done to end abortion? Do you think she's in Trump's ear telling Trump we got to defund Planned Parenthood? Do you think she is? You think she? Do you think she's doing anything besides praying? And I'm not making light of praying, huh? Well, here's another one. I don't even know who this guy is. I'm heading somewhere, boys. Yeah. Oh, there, boy, that's a good one. What's he? The Modern Methodist. What's his name? Adam Hamilton, the Modern Methodist. Boy, hey, there's a man's man, isn't it? That make a devil run, that guy.
He's got skinny jeans under that.
I don't even know who he is, and I shouldn't be judging him. Here we are. There we are. There. You ready for our Christian men at war? You ready? There they are. Woo! Look at the devil running, baby. Look at him running, huh? Woo! Now, these guys might be good in spiritual warfare, but I don't know what you think, but at some point, don't we have to take it to the field? Don't we have? Oh, there we go. Oh, hey, here we are. The headline-making minister. There she is. The headline-making. Boy, I'm not sure if that's Playboy or what. I don't know.
Looks like Barbara Streisand about ready to sing a song or something. I don't know.
I'm still going somewhere. Stay with me. Keep going. Hey, yeah.
Hey, Coach, everyone on the queue and listening to your show that's not supporting these people financially ought to be ashamed because they don't have enough money to run a play. That's the problem.
Well, we don't want to run a play. We want to be in that stadium behind Coach and
exactly.
Coach potato it.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
Hang on, I'm still going somewhere. Guys, I'm not trying to puff me up. Nothing. I'm showing you our fullbacks and linebackers here. That's what I'm trying to show you. Well,
that must be our game plan manual right there, Coach. That's the game plan manual, right?
But listen, this is going to encourage you, right? Because here is Joel Osteen's 8.47 million Twitter followers. Joel Osteen's Twitter followers. Are you ready? Oh, here we go. Ellen DeGeneres. I can't read it. It's Owen Daniels, Jessica Simpson, Larry King, Justin Bieber, the Kardashians. You can't make this up. Do you see why we're losing? Has anybody ever heard a sermon from him on abortion? Ever? Ever? Maybe he has. Oh, there she is. Multimedia minister. There she is.
I'm still waiting for Joel Osteen just to preach a message on the gospel.
And then, ooh, celebrity, celebrity Catholics. Harry Connick Jr. Who's that guy there? I can't even see the name. I don't even know these guys. Mark Wahlberg. Who's this? Oh. Yeah, Rona Downey. It says celebrity Catholics. Okay, oh my goodness. Who would wear a monkey suit like that? Can somebody tell me who'd wear a monkey suit like that? As I said to you, I'm ticking them off this morning. That's okay. If you go to your pastor and he wears a costume, run. Look at these dudes. Got the costumes on. Halloween's coming up. I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Coach, I'm dying laughing.
This whole thing's about your best life now. Oh, the bull. Fred Luther. This minister is Dynamic Church in New Orleans. Hey, Dale. There he is.
Oh, don't even go there. I know who Fred Luther is. Trust me. I've rebuked him to his face.
Brother, he's a Dynamic Church in New Orleans, Lower Ninth Ward. Destroyed by Katrina and rebuilt using a strategy of frangelism. So that New Orleans is going to hell, but his church is growing.
His church is going to hell.
Hey, Todd, thank you for this. Okay, so now, having done all that, am I doing okay this morning, boys? I don't care if I'm not. I'm just going where the Holy Spirit's taking me here today. Hey, Jared, go to the pictures. Okay, these are pictures inside. Pull that first one up, Jared. I don't know if you can do it. I'll just do these, Jared. These are statistics in the front page of this book.
Hey, Coach, my wife took me to a Tim Hawkins concert for my birthday.
Yeah, is that something?
He came out. It was in a church. He looked around. He goes, I feel like I'm in Joel Osteen's bathroom.
Okay, here we go. These are statistics. They actually put them in this book. I just can't believe it. How about this one? This is not in the book. It says that about half of all Christians live just in 10 countries. Half of all Christians, top three, United States, Brazil, Mexico. Huh? United States, Brazil, and Mexico? Well, first of all, Brazil, Mexico, Catholics, I assume. Okay, Jared, pull up. Jared's got up there on the screen. Because I started reading some of these statistics. Now, daggone. Yeah, Jared. Yeah, make your picture a little bit smaller. Look at this, folks. This is why we're not running any plays, okay? I'm sorry this is so small. I can get you copies of it if you'd like to. In fact, it is so small even on my screen, I might have to read it right out of this book here. I said, why aren't we running any plays? Well, here's why we're not running any plays, okay? I've got the same book right in front of me, but I can see it a little bit better. It says here, 70.6% of all Americans identify as Christians. That's a mic drop right there, isn't it? 70%? Okay, 25.4% of them are evangelical Protestants, whatever the heck that means. 14% are mainline Protestants, Larry, whatever the heck that means. Look at this. 6.5% are historically black. Now, wait a minute. What is a historically black Protestant? What the hell is that? Historically black? Well, I want modern black Protestants, not historically.
How about saved black Protestants?
Saved blacks. 20.85% Catholic. And 1.6% Mormons. See there? Now they're including Mormons again as being Christians. So Barna says the percentage of church-attending Americans relative to overall population is more than four times greater today than it was in 1776. What does that tell you? Huh? Church-attending Americans, four times greater was in the early. You know why? Because they didn't go to churches. They did home churches. What's the most religious states in the country? Arkansas, 79%. Hey, Dale, is abortion legal in Arkansas?
Absolutely.
79% of that whole state's Christians. Louisiana, hey, Dale, 84% of the citizens in Louisiana. That's number, you can't see it. It's second one. 84% of the residents are Christian.
Baloney, they're mostly Catholic.
Tennessee, hey, Tennessee. 81% of people in Tennessee are Christians. 81%. And how about this? The number one, Mississippi and Alabama are tied for first place. Mississippi has 75% Christians. In Alabama, 86% of all voters, of all people in Alabama are Christian, and they wouldn't vote for Roy Moore. Stand with me.
Yep, and they voted in that guy, and he will kill them babies all the way up to 9 months.
That's right. They voted him in because they're Christian. And church is growing. Majority of Americans identify themselves as Christians. Here's a new chart. So first column says percentage who say they believe in God with absolute authority. 85% of blacks. Hey, Paul. Hey, Vinny. Hey, Jim Kraft. Weren't you telling me the other day that you decided you're going to start being black? You did. So anybody else want to turn be black? I think we can do that now, can't we? We can choose our gender. Let's just choose. I want to start being historically black. Can I do that, Paul? Vinny, can I be historically black? How you do that? You're trying to come in. Huh?
I said I'm going to be a Filipino woman for about that.
Hey, don't here we go. So listen, folks. Percentage of people who say they believe in God with absolute certainty, 85% of blacks. Time out. What percentage of them vote for Democrats?
70% probably.
Yeah.
It should be.
Right?
And they also make up the biggest demographic that kill their babies.
That's right.
Yep.
Right. Stay with me.
Are you sure it's not propaganda that they vote Democrat?
Well, whatever it is. Hey, Lindell, we're talking about people who go to church and should have a pastor that's shoving in the right direction. Hispanics, 59% of Hispanics believe Jesus is real, God with absolute certainty. And wow, 61% of whites. Is that an unbelievable statistic? Only 61% of whites believe with that certainty. Okay, how about those who say religion is very important? I'm talking about why we can't run a stinking play here. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Well, blacks say 75% of it's so important they voted for Obama 90%. Hispanics, 59%. Look at that. This parallel about the same. Look at the old white boys. White boys don't think religion is very important. Only 49% think it's important. Wait a minute. Which religion? See, they don't understand humanism as a religion.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
We're falling in a trap the world does. They divide us into groups and stuff. And that's, I mean, those are meaningless statistics.
They are meaningless.
They're just wasting paper.
But they do tell us something, don't they, though, Paul? They are meaningless, but they tell us something. Or yeah, are they trying? They're trying to head us somewhere. How about the percentage of people who pray every day? Blacks, 75% of them. That's good news. They want to slaughter babies, shoot each other, and blame whitey. Sorry, Paul. Sorry, Vinny. Just telling the truth. 58% of Hispanics pray every day. Wow.
Yeah. No, it's no good. I'm a Filipino woman now. It's no good. No good.
What's no good?
I'm done. I'm done with that. No, it's a bunch of nonsense, man. You know that.
What? Look at those. See, listen, whites, according to this, 52% of whites pray daily. 52%. How about this one?
Hey, pray Randy, to this who?
Is, well, look at this. Percentage who say they attend religious services once a week. Only half of the people, blacks say religion is very important. Only half of them go to church.
Hey, Coach, how many white people, what percentage of white people are rapists, since that's what they're trying to opine?
Yeah, come on, Vinny, you're trying to drag me down a rabbit hole. Are you noticing something pretty consistent here? Look at the Hispanics. They identify, they believe it's important, they pray daily, and they go to church. Same percentage all the way across. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Here, let's flip to the next. I don't want to get bogged. You want to know why we're not running plays? That's the whole thing. Why we're not running plays? Not running plays. Because we got celebrity pastors here. Okay, so Jared, let's go to the next page. I'm sorry if I'm boring you. Who's heading out to a church service at least once a week? Only 58% of evangelicals are even going to church. 39% of Catholics. So most Catholics aren't even Catholics. They're not even Christians. 39%. Hey, Paul, you historically black, or are you just a regular black? Vinny, what about you? You historically black, Vinny, or are you just recent black? Well, the historically black Protestants, 53% of them are going to church once a week. And then the mainline Protestants, a third. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Hey, you ready for this? Here, this, now, this ought to encourage you. Southern Baptists added 479 new churches in 2016. Awesome! They built new churches, but they lost 78,000 members. My head's about to explode.
And, hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Of those Southern Baptist churches, how many of those churches have become that group? What's that group? New Revoice or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm wondering about the historically white ones here. That's what I'm concentrating on right now. Listening to Bible teachings on podcasts jumped dramatically among millennials. Over 6 years. How about that? Well, were they listening to the Bible teachings? Up from 24% to 37%. See, how stupid is this, right? How stupid is this? Well, no reason it's jumping. Everything's on the internet. Okay, let's go one more page here. One more page. Want to know why we're not running a play? Here's why we're not running a play. In 1972, close to 30% of Americans' churches identified with mainline Protestant churches. Today, that number's dropped to 15%. Is that something? Well, there are many mainline churches. The best known are the Seven Sisters, the United Methodist, not even a Christian church anymore, Larry, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Homo Central, the Episcopal Church, Homo Central, number two, Presbyterian Churches of USA, I don't need to say anything, the American Baptist Churches, the United Churches of Christ, and the Church, the Christian Church, which are the Disciples of Christ. Look at that. They're losing all kinds of people. 63% of Americans believe in God with absolute certainty. 20% are fairly certain that God exists, but only 9% don't believe at all. Now, hey, guys,
hey.
Who's in control? I would say the 9% is in control of America.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
That list of denominations you did, all but one of those are members of the CUIC thing I was telling everybody about. Yeah. All the time.
I knew you were going to pipe into that. I knew you were. About 40% of U.S. Catholics are Hispanic. Wow. Maybe they're not our enemies. 18% to 45%. From 2011 to 2000, millennials who use their phones to search for the Bible. Look at that. We don't even know how to use the Bible now. So here's what it is. I watch porn 1 minute and read the Bible the next, right on the same device. That's cool. That's cool. This is God's
screening.
Yeah, side-by-side screen. This is God's, what would we call this? I'm connected to God. God's on the net. Yep.
Call it the next one-eyed devil.
78% of millennials still preferred to read a print version of the Bible. Well, man, there is hope. They still prefer to read it. They just don't. All right. I'll switch gears. So see, that's why we're losing. This magazine, Todd. Thanks, Todd. The religious affiliations of the religious affiliation of our presidents are in here. Ain't no Muslims in there, I don't think. Ain't no Muslims.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Only one Catholic.
Obama was a Muslim.
Thank you. There. Thank you. All right. I'm just going to shut up a minute and wait for a reaction because I don't even really know where this show is going right now.
Well, I'll give you a little hope, Coach. I handed out some free newspapers yesterday at church. We had guests coming in. And instead of giving them anything, I gave them a newspaper. They looked at me like I was nuts with three heads. I said, listen, throw that stupid newspaper that's coming on your front lawn. So I handed out 50 copies of Christian News, Wisconsin's Christian News Network, brother. It was an awesome newspaper.
Yeah, Rob's paper. Amen. Hey, Matt. Yeah. Matt from Findlay, Ohio. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, hey, sorry I missed your program down there this weekend, but I was busy doing some research.
All right, don't you have to apologize. That's all right. Go ahead.
Here we go. If you got a few minutes, the problem with the playbook, the reason we're not running any plays is because we've got an inaccurate playbook. I want to give you a couple examples. This is what I listened to yesterday on three major pastors, preachers, one being Robert Morris, one being Adrian Rogers, and one being Dr. Jeffries. Now, Adrian Rogers was talking about the law and the gospel. And he says that the law says that you are to love the Lord your God with all your strength. The gospel says God's love is sufficient. So you don't need to love the Lord your God with all your strength, but love, heart, and everything else, because God's love is sufficient. That's the message going out to the Christians listening to him. Prayer. Robert Morris talked about prayer, about how prayer changes God's mind. And he's probably right. I'm not arguing with that. But the problem is, he had no conditions for prayer. He had no conditions that talked about what you do when you pray. No conditions about the fact that, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, as it says in Isaiah chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So they're not telling people the basic conditions that you need to get your heart in order to have your prayers answered. So you got Christians bouncing around from one church to another. Their prayers aren't being answered. They get tired of going to church, and they say, hey, this is a waste of time. So I ain't going to do it anymore. But here's the kicker to the whole thing. If you go to John, if Jared could bring up John 14, 15, and 16, would be a big help. I don't have that on my screen right now.
Which one is it again? Say it again, Matt.
John chapter 14, okay. Verses 15 and 16.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
That's the condition.
That's right now.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide.
Okay, now with that word in between, it says and, the very first word of 16, it says and.
Yes.
Now, we can read that any way you want. To me, when I read this, I take it from the serious standpoint. I look at the most profound way to honor Jesus Christ and to honor God. And when I read 15, rather, it talks about, yeah, if you love me, you will follow my and I will send you the Holy Spirit. So does that mean if you're not following God's commands and you're not loving him, he is not going to send you the Holy Spirit? So that's the way I read it. That's the way I try to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear a preacher ever preaching that. Now, Dr. Jeffries never mentioned 15. Never mentioned 15, and he even took the word and out of 16. So all he talked about was the fact that in having the Holy Spirit with you, he just talked about 16,
wow.
Which doesn't tell you the conditions for 15. We're not hearing the conditions for prayer. We're not hearing the conditions for loving God. We're not hearing the conditions for anything. That, as far as I'm concerned anyway, with the research that I've been doing, I try to listen to a lot of these programs to take notes and look at what these preachers are telling people. And when you look at those three examples, Dave, there's no doggone doubt about it. We are not getting the proper playbook.
No,
you know, right. People need to hear out there that when they're looking at their lives, at their basic lives, they need to read Romans 1:28-32. And I know you've gone through that a couple of times. That very last verse, you know, murder is one of the things that God lists here as far as, you know, things that you shouldn't be doing.
Right,
and then he said that those who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who do those things are just as guilty as the ones that support them.
Amen, buddy.
We're not hearing the right message. And as long as we're not hearing the right message, we are never, ever going to have any kind of a playbook from the church. The church is screwing people up. They're screwing Christians up. They're confusing them. They're not telling them the truth. They're telling them the basic things that they want to tell them. Prayer. The Holy Spirit, the whole works, loving God, it's an absolute mess. And it's that way every Sunday on the TV. Anyway, that's my case. I'll let you guys get back to things.
Thanks, Matt.
Just like that.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so here it is. I just want to throw this up on the screen, too. I'll just hold it real close, and I got to pull it back and read it. This is in quotes. Not sure who said it. It's in the same cotton candy book. It says, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. All right, so time out. Lowell, give us your 2 cents from the weekend. I'm asking, why aren't we running a play? It's never dawned on anybody's mind to run a play. Why aren't we running?
What I said Sunday morning was the effeminization of the church. Men aren't in charge. Men are not in charge.
Not real men.
Okay.
No, not real
men. Not real men. Men are not in charge. And we spend, the men that do get involved, far more. I mean, we just argue about gnats and nits and specks in each other's eyes instead of focusing on the world coming apart around us.
Amen.
We're fighting each other instead of fighting the enemy. There is dissension in the ranks, and we should be a united front.
Because you know what, Lowell? We're not scared of our team. We're scared of the other team. We ain't going to go fight them. So we'll fight our own family feud. Where's Richard Dawson when we need him? Family feud. Where is he? That's what we need. Come on in here. I'm gonna shut up the best I can and give you guys the last 15 minutes.
Coach, here's a revelation. Hold on 1 second. Here's a revelation. I just thought about this. You're a coach and you understand. If I could do one thing to the opposite team across the field to almost ensure that I'm gonna win, would be to get my playbook in the hands of that coach. The enemy literally has put his playbook into the church, which is the
brother.
Come on, brother.
Amen, brother. He infiltrated it, rewrote it, and handed it back to us. Somebody else, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say that timing has a lot to do with effectiveness. And as a football coach, you know that there's a time to throw a pass and there's a time to run up the middle. And our side, you know, not only do we not have plays, but we accept out of time things as positive. For example, Lindsey Graham and his little speech the other day. I live here in South Carolina. I have known Lindsey Graham personally for over a decade. And the man is a timing expert. He doesn't say or do anything that relates to our side until it's too late to do any good, but it's early enough to get him some votes in the next election. That's the way he operates.
Well, you know what play that they taught us that we're running? Good point, Larry. They taught us that play where you take a knee. That's the play we run. Take a knee. Okay, church, you get the ball. Okay, let's take a knee. Yes or no? I see over here in the chat, Christina says, Pastor Sunday morning said we are supposed to love the world. I'm still looking for that scripture. Huh? It says love not the world, doesn't it? Doesn't it say love not the world? Somebody else, come on in. Hello. There we go.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, yeah. Coach. Hey, Jim. Thanks for coming up, man.
Hey, I was listening to this Christian radio station that's in this area the other day, and they gave this stat. They said that the latest statistics say that the national divorce rate is plummeting or coming down because millennials are rebelling against their parents. This is how they put it. They're rebelling against their parents, and they are choosing to stay together in marriage. Now, I knew there was something wrong with that stat. And I told it to Gwen, and Gwen said, well, that's easy. That's because they've decided to live together and not get married.
Amen.
But what that tells us is that they are so deceived. That's deception, see? And that's why they're not running plays. They're not running plays because they're deceived.
Amen. Amen. Come on, it's open forum here. We got about 12 minutes. You say, well, Coach, I've never said anything on here before. Well, today's your day. This is your day. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Yes, come on in. I'm not hearing somebody.
Well, I'm convinced. The more I listen and the more I see what the church is not doing, it's not going to be the church. It's going to be the church of the few, the committed person. You know, it's like the 12 disciples carried the gospel to the rest of the world. It's going to be a few, and it doesn't take an army of thousands, but it takes a committed few. And we actually do have to have a game plan, which we don't have.
That was the point Mark Trump made when he looked around. He said, this is just amazing. All the talents and skills and abilities are here. It's amazing. And then I asked the question, I'm talking about our Saturday weekend event. Okay, how many of you know your skills? Is Serge in here? Is Serge in here? I said, yeah, Serge is in here. Serge came all the way from Buffalo. I forgot to mention that. Serge and I, come on in here, Serge. Serge and I had a conversation. I said, Serge, what's your gift? He kind of hemmed and hawed. Big old Serge, big booming voice. You with me, Serge?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your gift, Serge? I'm not trying to embarrass her. What's your gift? Anybody ever told you, showed you what your gift was?
Well, I figured my gift is just serving the true church, helping what needs to be done.
Has your church been asking you to do that, Serge?
No, not really. I haven't gone to church in a long time.
Would the pastor even know or recognize what your gifts are?
He didn't. I volunteered.
Yeah, he still didn't want it, did he? So I just felt that tap on my shoulder, Lowell. Anybody who was at our event this weekend knows that I did everything I could to give the responsibility to everybody else. Anybody who was there this weekend knows I didn't say, here's the way it's going to be. This is, I said it. Now let's do it. Everybody knows that I didn't. I do not operate that way. That I'm telling you, we are losing. What's that, Serge?
You were trying to pull teeth, trying to get people to react, to bring it out.
We're losing this game. Why are we losing this game? What can you do to help us win this game? That's my whole life's ministry, trying to get people to exercise their gifts. And Serge is right. It's like pulling teeth. Now, I don't know this. I mean, I know this. I don't know this. I recognize Lowell's gift. I think Lowell recognizes his gift. But I know this. Lowell respects his gifts so much, he's not going to come and say, hey, I'll do that. I said, will somebody do that? And Lowell said, yeah, I'll do that. Because Lowell, you spoke about proper authority, right? Crack that open for us, Lowell. What does that mean, Lowell?
It means you have to, you can only undertake a mission if you have been given that mission by higher authority, by proper authority. You can't run out and do your own game. It's a concept that's so ingrained in the military, it's almost hard to articulate. Okay. Every commander. Okay. I'll give you an example. There are men commanding nuclear submarines right now that are the third or fourth most powerful man on the face of the earth. With a punch of a button, actually turn of two keys, he can launch more firepower than ever launched in the history of man. Okay. And he's probably a 35-year-old man, maybe 40. He's a captain or a commander in the United States Navy. How many have those men launched? No matter how strongly they feel, no matter what voices they hear, they need proper authority to launch those missiles. Mm. That's the key.
Okay. And so what we see in Congress, in Senate, is a usurpation of authority. They don't have the authority to do what they're doing, yet there is no one to rein them in. And why is there no one to rein them in? Because all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. And he said, go ye therefore. So those senators and those congressmen have no authority. Their position gives them no authority other than to follow the orders of those ahead of them. And those ahead of them only have authority that's been delegated to them. And even Donald Trump doesn't have all authority. And neither does the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. The authority is delegated down. And what's happened in America, the one who delegates all authority, the Holy Spirit that delegates all authority and is passing the authority down, the church has said, hey, that sounds good, but we ain't doing that. We're going to do this because we're going to go a different way. We love your kingdom. And Lord, listen, we'll wear your hat, Lord, but we're going to put it over here on the shelf and we're going to go a different direction. Anybody think I'm wrong?
Nope, you're absolutely right, Coach. It sucks because nobody wants to step up and take their authority and do what is right anymore because, we got to be timid and afraid.
Uh-huh. Well, again, a message I made this week is why are we so defeatist and defensive-minded in the church? And as we started out the show here, I said, tell me one play we've run. And the 50 people in the queue can't tell me not one play that we've run. Well, let's have a prayer chain. Let's have a prayer. Let's do 40 days for life. I'm not making fun of prayer calls. I ain't making fun of that. Prayer. Hey, listen.
Prayer ain't a play.
Hey, Coach.
Prayer alone ain't a play, fellas. Yes, Vinny.
Coach, it's like a critical mass. People talk about, oh, critical mass, 5% of the population will find out what's going on, and then things will change. Like a baby's diaper, like 5% of people know a baby's diaper is full and it's going to change by itself? That's ridiculous. In fact, let me make one more point. Juanita Broderick. Juanita Broderick was raped by Bill Clinton. If I were her friend, because her friend failed her, if I were her friend, I would have grabbed her by the hand. I would have said, let's go to this conference that you're supposed to go to. I would have said, don't let go of my hand because I'm not going to let go of your hand. I would have proclaimed to the world, look what Bill Clinton did to this woman. And maybe we could have saved this nation from a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't. Because why? We don't get in politics. Jim Kraft, jump in there. Who else do I want to hear something from? We just got a couple minutes left. Just a reaction. Yes. Go ahead.
I just want to give a plug for Lowell. The movie that we started watching, and I tried watching it, finishing it last night, but I fell asleep, being a little exhausted by the time I got home. The Two Witnesses. People need to watch that. It's an amazing video, and it really changes the whole outlook that I have, where we're going to all be responsible to be warriors.
Amen. Hey, by the way, Lowell, I don't know if I got a copy of that. You're going to send that to everybody.
I fell asleep last night after you guys left, too.
Hey, Jim Kraft, we need to hear from you, Jim. I don't know what you got to say, but it's always something pretty important.
Hey, Coach. One thing I wanted to say was, I got fellowship at the meeting with brothers and some sisters. I got fellowship there this weekend that I don't get anywhere else. And like Serge, you know, Serge drove from Buffalo, New York, and you know, it's like, you know, people are starving, you know, starving for the gospel, starving for fellowship, starving to be with the guys that are true. We'll lock arm in arm, and no matter what we agree about or disagree about, you know what, at the end of the day, we're together. Okay. We're one. And I just, I want to thank Lowell and thank you and thank all the guys who came, because it was a good weekend. And like I told Lowell, I had a blast. So anyway.
And Jim, and you felt comfortable with people and you didn't even know their theology. You didn't know anything. You didn't really know what they believed. You don't know if they spoke in tongues, you didn't know if they believed in the Daca Dominia. You just came and said, these are my brothers in the Lord, and I'm going to quit fighting with them, and we're going to come together, and we're going to try to make a difference. And I know this. Mm-hmm. I didn't agree with everything I heard, but these are my brothers. And the only way that we're going to win is if we lay down our daggone swords against each other and start deciding that we have people who will not play anymore with us because they don't like what we're doing. They don't like the way we're doing. They don't believe what we believe. You know what? Those abortionists, those homos, they don't believe the same thing. Muslims, they don't believe the same thing. But they're sure as hell trying to fight against us. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, what you just said is so important. There were some things that were mentioned and said in the various things, classes and things that I didn't agree with, that I didn't think were right. But you know what? None of them were serious enough to my relationship with Jesus Christ for me to break fellowship with my brothers.
Amen. None of it. And so here we are trying to build an army in Ohio, and we got people that won't play with us. They won't play. Hey, we're playing, baby. I'm going to tell you this. We're playing. And I believe that what happened with us on Sunday, was a watershed. I believe something happened on Sunday. And most of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but those who were there, they know what I'm talking about. We're going to go to Iowa, and we're going to go to
Bethlehem, PA, and we're going to go to Texas, and we're going to go places, and we're going to do something, even if it's me and my wife and three of my buddies with hats on. I am not going to sit around and continue. I knew they were going to do that. I just knew they were going to do that. The four saddest words in the human language is, you ready? I saw that coming. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.